I feel like we had a really, really good time yesterday. And again, I just want to say thank you to everybody who was able to come out. I know there's other ones that wanted to be here, but because of work or sickness or whatever the other situations might be, you wanted to be here and you were here at heart. But we're thankful for those that were able to be here. We had a good crowd. I think we had probably 20-something folks out yesterday, I think, wasn't it, Brother? Yeah, a good crowd. And again, thank you to Brother Kevin, Miss Nancy for coming out early and cooking. And boy, that was a blessing. Oh, yeah, and Chuck, yeah, thank you all. That was a big blessing. And then we got to hand out some flyers for Vacation Bible School. And we did two whole neighborhoods. I think that's a pretty good start. And we will continue to do that. With that being said, we have some ready to go. We're going to have somebody in the back today. And everybody gets to take some. Don't let them leave empty-handed, Brother Kevin. Would you help me take care of that today? Stand in the back, and everybody leaves with some of these in hand, okay? So we want to get these out. Tell your neighbors. And I think Miss Melanie was even suggesting some of the businesses might let us post one on their bulletin board if they have somewhere. And so maybe if you know somebody at a business, let what's that? Post office, yes, I think she mentioned that. And so let's do that. And so if you all want to help take those, go to as many businesses that are willing to let us put some information out. Who's against, I mean, surely the community's not against Vacation Bible School, right? Everybody likes Vacation Bible School. So that's it. I remember literally we were talking about a family that we had the kids coming for years, and I visited their mom several times, and she said, Pastor, I appreciate the invitation, but this is my break. And, you know, I understood where she's coming from. I wasn't mad at her for it. Of course, I wanted her to come to church and have a little bit different perspective, but I understood where she's coming from. And so, yeah, but what a good day in the Lord's house it was yesterday, and I anticipate another good day today. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis chapter 37. What we're going to do this morning, because we're running a little bit short on time, if you do have a special prayer request, now I am going to mention one thing, actually two things if you don't mind. If you have a special prayer request, lift up your hand this morning, and the Lord knows what those needs are. We're going to take it to the Lord in that manner. But I want to mention two quick things. Number one, the fire that is going on. How close is that to us now, Brother Kevin? About would you say 20 miles? 25? More than that? 30 miles? Okay. Because Superior, according to my map, where we were was 26 miles, but that was when we were coming on the 60. Okay. Well, still keep in, be in prayer for those that are in the path of the fire. And again, as people in Superior or whatever area that they're in being evacuated, you know, that's not far from us. It's very likely that we could know somebody that's affected by that. So let's keep them in prayer. And then I had a special request. A good friend of ours just told us this morning, the gentleman's name is Gary Myers, and he's went into congestive heart failure this week and has to have bypass surgery tomorrow. Is that right? Bypass surgery tomorrow, and I just wish that you would remember Gary Myers today. Just a special need, and I know it was heavy on our friend's heart, and so I wanted to mention those in prayer. Oh, yeah, and Miss Brenda, another friend of ours, was in a terrible car accident. My understanding is somebody there was a fatality. She's going to be okay. Gary Myers, uh-huh. Well, he's from Kentucky. Yeah, but Gary Myers... Yeah. And then Brenda Whitmer, she was in an accident. Her car looks like an accordion, and they had to cut her out. She was one of our former members, a good friend of ours, love her to death. She's like a mom. And so please remember her. Yes, Miss Nancy? Yeah. Yes. The Storms donated this to the church. And what a blessing it is. Yeah, it's a nice piano. Weighted keys. Obviously, you can tell it has a good sound. It's a good quality. These things can get expensive really quick. Yeah. And so, yeah, so praise the Lord for that. So with that, yeah, Roger. Daniel. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Yeah, they got to get to it. Yeah, because that could be a serious situation. Certainly remember that. All right, let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer and remember these requests I've made mention. Lord, we love you. Thank you again for allowing us to be in church. Thank you, Lord, for what a beautiful day that you gave us yesterday. Lord, the fellowship was great. The food, excellent, God. But most importantly, you know, we got the fellowship as amongst church family, open up the word and share a thought together. God, we got to go into the community and just put flyers in people's hands. And Lord, the picture of that is we're trying to get young people in the church to hear the gospel. Lord, those seeds that were planted, I pray that you would, Lord, that you would bring them to fruition, and God, that you would, Lord, allow us to have some fruit from that. And we pray for souls. We pray for the kids that will be coming. Lord, there's many needs today. God, several lifted their hands with a special request in their heart. Lord, you know what they are. We did want to mention a couple. Lord, I pray for Gary Myers today. Lord, you know the need for him. I pray that you touch him, protect him, keep him safe. Pray for Sister Brenda Whitmer. Lord, I pray that you continue to watch her. Lord, we especially want to think about here locally, those affected by the fire. Lord, we pray for their safety and protection, most of all, but Lord, even the loss of, Lord, personal property and other things that may be in the line of fire. But we just pray ultimately for their protection, for the firefighters, for all the first responders, for their safety and protection. Pray that you meet the service today. Give us wisdom in this hour of Sunday school. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, Genesis chapter 36. Or I'm sorry, 37. Genesis 37 is where we'll start. And I'm going to ask for some people to help. So let's just set it. Take five verses at a time. We're going to start in verse 12. And I'm going to ask for volunteers to help us as we read along here. Did you want to get that going, brother?
Yeah,
amen. Genesis chapter 37, and we'll start in verse 12. Genesis chapter 37, and Roger, you're going to take the first five?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, Here am I. And he said to him, Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, What seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, They are departed hence, for I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan.
All right. Next five, who's got them? Connor?
And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near to them, they considered against him to slay him. And they say one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. And Reuben heard of it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, Let us not kill him.
Go to verse 20. Yeah, and then verse 20, go ahead.
Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. We will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we'll see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and said, Let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid out of their hands to deliver him to the father, to his father again.
Okay. Right. Who's next? Miss Melanie.
And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead, with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content.
All right. Yes. Yes.
Then there passed by the Midianites merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he tore his clothes, and he returned unto his brethren, and said, The child is not, and I, where shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat and killed the kid of the goats and dipped the coat into the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their fathers and said, This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or not.
Wow. Who wants to finish it up? Go ahead, Miss Nancy.
And he knew it and said, It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his sons many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted and said, For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captains of the army.
Wow. Thank you all. I want you to know, church, that what we have just read that Joseph's brothers have done is a very, very wicked thing that they have done. Now, they have not necessarily killed their brother, but in many ways, they killed their father. What I find interesting is something happened here, and then we're going to get back into to try to look at these notes. But, you know, you ever read something in Scripture and it sort of bothers you what you read because either A, it convicts you or the Lord has shown you something that you read. But later on, you'll see towards the end of the book of Genesis in our study in the life of Joseph, you'll see that Jacob, the Bible talks about Jacob's spirit came back to him. So at this particular moment, his father, their father was still alive. Jacob was technically still alive, but he was not himself. He was not himself anymore, and it was because of in his mind, his son was dead. And he wasn't just dead, but he died in his mind, a gruesome death. What his brothers have done is they deceived him, and not just deceived, they conspired this plan of this pit and got his coat and tore it to shreds and then even killed a goat and took the blood and put the blood on that coat and put it in the pit so that their father could visibly see that and come to the conclusion in his mind that his son has just died a horrible death. To the point that it said in verse 35, where we read towards the end of that chapter, and all his sons and his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. Now, what I also find absolutely interesting, it says his sons and his daughters. So not only were the sons part of that wicked conspiracy, but then in my mind, it's even more wicked because then they tried to comfort him for something they know that actually did not happen. How could they not have enough heart to see this has really hurt our father? This has really hurt our father. We need to just tell him the truth that he's actually okay. Or that he's actually living, that he has not been killed. But at least tell him that he's been sold into Egypt. To me, that's wicked. That's wicked to go to that extreme, to conspire a plan and allow their father essentially to lose his spirit and not become himself anymore. We'll find it later on in our study. Because if that statement that we read later in Genesis is true, that his spirit was regained or he got his spirit back, then that means he lost it at this point right here. because it was in reference to Joseph's death in his mind. Of course, we know that he's not dead. We know that he's alive. And what is also important for us to know is, why is this happening? Sometimes when we think of circumstances like this, we think, why is God allow this to be happening? But it's critical to understand, church, is that this was part of God's plan. What's that, brother? It does. Yeah. They are. It really does. And as ugly as we're seeing, you know, what we're seeing here, it was actually part of God's plan. You know, we see wicked things happen all the time. We see wars. In fact, I do want to make reference, and Brother Dane, I apologize I didn't give you this text. I want to read something real quick in Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 6. Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 6. I appreciate Brother Dana's patience. I just constantly throw curveballs at Brother Dana. I told you my friendship and relationship in many ways is like a baseball pitcher, but I always throw curveballs. He never knows, you know, it never comes straight down the pipe. But in Matthew chapter 26, that when I was studying this and kind of gathering my final thoughts this morning, this text came to mind where Jesus is talking to his disciples. He says, in verse number 1, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And he said upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and when shall be the sign of the end, and sign of the coming, and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Notice verse 6, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. Now watch what Jesus says right here. For these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Jesus said these things must come to pass. Church, we're living in a wicked world today. The Bible says this, know that in the last days and perilous times shall come. That's dangerous or hazardous, and we're there. When we look around the world and we see these things happening and see things transpiring, I'll just be honest with you, church. I've seen something this week that disturbed me. And what it was a little video of Blue's Clues. I'm not going to send it to any children. If you as an adult want to see it, I'll share it with you. Let me know privately and I'll share it with you. I'm not going to share it with any kids. But it disturbed me, and I'm just going to summarize what it was. Essentially what it was a little segment that was played on Blue's Clues where they're celebrating the homosexual lifestyle, or let me just sum it up, the LGBTQ community, and celebrating that as a good thing, as a positive thing, and it made me sick to my stomach because that is a wicked thing. What they're doing is that they're going after our kids. I don't even want my children to see it because it made me so disgusting. Go ahead, Will. They do it. Yeah, they do. It's part of their agenda. They'll put that pride flag up, but yet there's places, I'll get you, Roger. But yet there's places now that don't even want to put the American flag up. They kicked the Lord, the Bible, and prayer, the Ten Commandments out of school years ago. Friend, that's troubling to me. And we sit around and I'll get you, Chuck. We sit around and we look at these things and we say, what's going on? Well, Jesus said these things must come to pass. As wicked as what we're seeing here in our study, the Lord told us that these things must come to pass. I'll get you first, Roger. Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah, and that's where that thing is coming from. Yeah. Yeah, and Chick-fil-A has been the subject of attack. I've seen that before. Chuck? Yeah, they have. They have. It's part of their agenda. It is. It's part of their agenda. But, yes, Ms. Susan. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Isn't that awful? That's terrible. That's terrible. That's terrible. Yeah. Look at it. This stuff is real. Now, listen, church. It's terrible. I want to make a statement, and it might bother some people, but I need you to understand something. I'm not picking on homosexuals. I'm not picking on the LGBTQ. I'll tell you where our position as a church needs to be. It's sin. Okay? Now, with that being said, we need to give them the gospel. We need to show them the love of Christ. If they come into church, they're welcome at church. Okay? Well, we're going to love on them just like anybody else, and we're going to treat them just as good as anybody else. Because that ought to be our attitude as a church. But if that's sin, hang on now, so is fornication, so is adultery, so is pedophilia, and all these other sins, okay, that is still sin. And our position as a church is that it's sin. And so it's not that we're picking on a certain group, but I'm just letting you know that the Bible calls it sin. God has not changed his mind. God has not progressed as what's a popular buzzword today is we have progressed as a nation. I think we've regressed is what we've done. We've not progressed. We've regressed. And, God says, I change not. He's immutable. God has not changed his position or his feeling. And, you know, we just have to remember that God destroyed a whole city as a result of that sin. And so, you know, that's where we need to be as a church. Now, getting back to what we're trying to look at, here in the Bible in Genesis 37, what we just read, this was a very wicked thing. So the question is, you know, why isn't God stopping this? Why isn't God doing anything about this? And in some of my notes here in a study that I'm using, partly the most of it written by another pastor, it says, during World War II, a soldier angrily demanded, why doesn't God stop this war? A Christian soldier standing nearby said, why should he? He didn't start it. Now you think about that for just a second. People often blame God, and I'm sharing some of the thoughts here. People often blame God for things in life that they don't like. They accuse him of the trouble that they find themselves in. Yet God has given to man both the privilege and the corresponding consequence of choice. Man's actions do not thwart it in any way or diminish the sovereignty of God. Okay? We can ask that question in a war. We can ask that question in the things that we just seen is happening in our country that we just described about, that we just talked about. We can ask that question concerning here with what's happening to Joseph, is why didn't God stop it? It does not change God's sovereignty. It does not change who God is. And so oftentimes we ask the question, is this good? Is what's happening good? And that's a very interesting question. Well, frankly, in one way, I guess we would have to say it is, because we don't like to see sin happen. We don't like to see sin in people's life. But at the same token, Jesus said these things must come to pass. So for the Christian, it brings us one step closer to him. What we're seeing these things transpire and happen. So it brings us closer to him. But it's sad, really, for those that are living in that sin, or those that are, you know, lives are being cost in the process. But God is sovereign. God is in absolute control. God has not lost his authority. God has not lost his sovereignty in any way. Let me give you a couple of quick scriptures on that. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you're also called in one body, and be ye thankful. Okay? I think Brother Dana has most of those up there. 2 Corinthians 9:11, be enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. All right? In all bountifulness. 2 Corinthians 4:15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. That word redound means to excel, to exceed, to flow over anything that could have been expected. That's interesting that it says, for all things are for your sake, and then he uses to redound for the glory of God. You know, I sometimes wonder when I look at things and I think, man, we really got ourselves in a mess. But then we give it to God and let God have it. And God redounds it according to the richness of His grace. In other words, He makes something better out of it than we could have ever even expected. I've gotten myself in a mess, church, and then God makes something better out of it. And once it's given to the Lord, God makes something better out of it than we could have ever expected. So too often we ask, is this really good for my life? Keep in mind, when we ask ourselves that, go back to stories like we see here in Genesis. Go back to the life of Joseph. Remember that the theme, in my opinion, the theme verse for the life of Joseph is where Joseph said, where we started off 2 weeks ago, God meant it for good. Right. To make a statement that God meant it for good would mean to say that it was part of God's sovereign plan. In other words, this was all part of God's will. So for us as Bible-believing Christians, it is good because it is part of God's plan. Now, it's not good to fall into sin. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But it is part of God's plan. When we do this, there's consequences for our sin. There's judgment that must come upon us. But when we give that back to the Lord and give God all the broken pieces, God can do something beautiful through that. When we continue studying the life of Joseph, and in fact, before I say, let me say this. In John 1:11, the Bible says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Yep. Now, what we're seeing happen here is that Joseph's father, Jacob, has told him to go to Shechem, where his brothers are, to check up on him, essentially. Okay, we've seen this. We talked about last week that Jesse, David's father, told him the same thing. He sent him to go to check up on him. He took him bread. He took him cheese. Go check up on him. So essentially, keep that in mind. There was a message from the father to the son to go. Joseph did that. You do realize the Bible says that God sent his son. So there was a message from the father to the son to what? To go. Now let me just throw this in real quick. There's still a message from the Heavenly Father today to us to what? To go. Go ye into all the world and what? Preach the gospel. There's a message for us there. Now that's not part of the main theme of what we're looking at today. But when we're looking at that pattern of what we see taught in Scripture, a message from the Father to the Son, go. We see that example from Jesse and David. We see that example here with Jacob and Joseph. We see that example from God to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's still an example that we ought to apply today because God tells us to go. Sometimes where He sends us to go is not always where we want to go. Right? Not always where we want to go. But nevertheless, with that thought in mind, going back to John 1:11, he came unto his own and his own received him not. Now that's talking about Jesus. He came unto his own. He was sent to his own people, the Jewish people. They were literally his own people. They were what would be considered his kindred. I mean, Christ is the only one that we know of in history that has it documented. The lineage now that exists today in completeness today, we find it in the Bible that his lineage traces back. This was his own people. Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now, I wonder what Jacob must have thought when he sent his son to his other sons. Joseph was literally coming to his own as well. He probably thought, you know, I hope they receive my son well. I hope they receive my son well. You ever been somewhere and you showed up and you weren't received in a way that you thought you were going to be received? Right? It's usually not a comforting feeling, right? But nevertheless, you know, it's part of what happens sometimes. So what we're seeing here by Joseph being sent, it's a picture of Christ where it says that he came unto his own received him not. So that's our first point, if you will, if we're studying along the lesson, is that he came unto his own as part of God's plan. He came unto his own as part of God's plan. We read there in verses 12 through 14. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem. Come, and I will send thee unto them. And notice his response. And he said to him, here am I. And he said to him, go. There it is. Go, I pray thee, to see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks. And bring me word again. So he sent him out of the valley, or out of the vale of Hebron, and came to Shechem. He came unto his own as part of God's plan. We see here what we just read. I want to point out two things about Joseph's, or what happened to Joseph. The first thing is that there were no reservations with Joseph. In other words, he said, go. What did Joseph say? Here am I. Father, you want me to go? Here I am. I'm available to you. I wonder, friend, when God says to you to go, when God tells you to do something, what is your response to God when God tells you to go? Later. In fact, you reminded me of something in the scriptures, well, in the book of Acts. Remember King Agrippa? Do you remember King Agrippa? Yeah. The message was brought to him. And he said, come back at a more convenient time. You don't know that you're going to get a more convenient... Well, there is no more convenient time than when God says go. That is the best possible time to go. It really makes no difference whether you think it's convenient or not. Right? But you're right, Will, because procrastination is something that oftentimes that we do. Well, Lord, I want to do that, but I'm just not ready. I hear that all the time. I'm too busy. I want to do that. I'm just not ready. It's just not a good time. I got too much going on in my life right now. And I'm just letting you know that when God says go, you better go. Let Him work out all the other details. Let Him work out the rest of the circumstances. But he came into his own as part of God's plan. Joseph had no reservations. In other words, he could have said, well, Dad, you know, I'd like to go, but I don't think my brothers like me very much. Could have. That's probably what some of us would have said. You know, Lord, or Dad, that would be something good, and I agree, you know, you need to get an update or get a status of what's going on, but, you know, can't you send somebody else? You know, Dad, I want to go, but, you know, you're talking about a long distance for me to go by myself, and I just don't feel very safe. I don't feel secure in doing that. It's dangerous. Well, you know, you don't want me to do something dangerous, do you? Joseph didn't have any reservation. I don't see that he had to ponder about it. I didn't see that he considered the matter. He just said, here am I. It would really help us in our Christian walk that when God says go, or when God says do, that you say, here am I, Lord. Send me. Isaiah said the same thing. God said, whom shall I send and who will go for me? Isaiah said, here am I, Lord. Send me. Send me. You know what would help the church, that would help the work of God, that when we find out that there's a need, if you would say, here am I, Lord, send me. Now, let me say something real quick. You're not serving me. Did that sink in? Now, we may ask you to help with things. You're not serving me, church. You're serving the Lord. If you do something for the ministry, you didn't do it for me. It doesn't belong to me. Amen, Brother Dana. You're doing it for the Lord. So our response, I'll get you, Will. Our response should be, now sometimes we are the ones who communicate, and I understand that. But our spirit says, should say, here am I, Lord, send me. Go ahead, Will. That's it. That's it. And Brother Will, tonight, church, tonight, that's the main subject. You don't have to get recognition for everything that you do. Because if you do it for recognition, you did it for the wrong reason. Let me make a statement, then I'm going to move on for that. I've only gotten to point one. I'm having such a good time with this lesson. And that's all right. We'll just keep studying this till we get done with it. Amen. This is what the Lord wants us to look at. We'll just keep in it. But you know something that I've learned about recognition, or maybe you call them compliments, is that they're kind of like a dessert. A dessert is nice every now and then, but you know what? You can't live on desserts. You know what happens if you try to live on dessert? You're going to get sick. You're going to get diabetes. You're going to get high cholesterol. It's physically going to make you sick. You cannot live on desserts. Now, I love a dessert just as much as the next fella. In fact, the last 2 days, we've had donuts, and then not just any donut. We brought in Boza donuts yesterday. And, you know, my problem is when I have a donut, I want to have like six. One doesn't do it for me. I literally took one bite of my daughter's donut. I said, Daddy just wants to taste it. And then I said, that's good. Get it away. Get it away, because I'm just trying not to take in, you know, right now. But anyhow, I love them just as much as next time, but I realize I can't live on them. You cannot survive if you constantly expect compliments and recognition for the work that you do. You will not make it. You want to... Listen, church, I don't preach for people to come around and say that was a good message. Right? I don't. What's that? Yeah. I don't preach to come around. I'll be honest with you, it doesn't affect me either way. That's okay. That's fine. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. The Bible says, let another man praise thee. Okay? What I am trying to tell you is that I'm just being honest. And if you came to me and said that it was a good message, it's not going to change my spirit about it. If you came to me and says it was a terrible message, it's not going to change my spirit about it. Where my spirit needs to be, is this what the Lord wanted? Is this what was pleasing to God? And the rest of it, I just have to let it go. Because I've gotten both. I've had some where people say, Pastor, that was good. I don't need to change my spirit about it. Because if I go wrong, I say, well, you know, yeah, it was good. I worked hard on it. No, that's a wrong attitude, church. But at the same time, if I don't let that side affect me, I shouldn't let the other side affect me. And then somebody says, I didn't like it and it wasn't good. If it was of God, it really makes no difference. Now, how people receive that, because one of the things I've learned about preaching is it's very subjective. People like different style of preaching, different style of delivery. It's kind of subjective. And so I appreciate feedback, but I'm just letting you know that we have to get to the place when we do something for the Lord. What opinions are given about it has to be irrelevant. Now, we just made the first point one. Brother Dana, we'll just continue on next week. And we're here. It's 9:47. We're going to go ahead and get ready for church. But let's go have a word of prayer and be dismissed. Brother Kevin, would you mind dismiss us in a word, brother, please? Yeah.